The World Economic Forum is the largest stage for heads of states, thought leaders of our time, and CEOs. And therefore, it is also a big stage for change to happen. One person responsible for that is John Dutton. He's a executive member of the World Economic Forum. And that's where Enrique met him, and they happened to become friends. But not only that, they also became partners in their vision for the world. And that's what they will be talking about in this episode of our podcast. And try if you can spot where Enrique is getting oddly philosophical. Enjoy our latest episode.
You're listening to Conscious Holistic Investment Podcast, the journey of an impact fund.
Hey, Enrique.
Hey, how are you, John? Thanks for taking the call.
Yeah, very nice to catch up with you.
Yes, yes. I know you're a busy man, but thank you for this time. I wanted to discuss with you a few things since we've been seeing each other lately. I think the last time was in Davos. How you been so since then?
I have had a chance to recharge the batteries. We've been thinking about what's next for the year. And, you know, Davos is always really a fun moment, both because we have relationships that have built up over many years, but also because it's a bit of that, you know, fresh start to the year. It's one of those first global moments when we can have a sense of what's happening, where there's some urgent areas, but also, you know, help to set the scene for a lot of the work that we want to do over the coming calendar year. So that's been fantastic. And then since then, you know, it's been about beginning to put things into action. Still managed to get 1 week of skiing in with the family, which is always fantastic to do.
Why
in that
not?
February
Why
period.
Not? It's always good. Yeah.
So yeah, I can't complain. Fantastic. What about you? How are you? What have you been up to since we saw each other?
Yes, yes, thanks. It's been quite exciting starting of the week, the year, the whole year. Also because, of course, the different projects that we are looking at, but with all what is coming about technology and innovation and the discussions we have, actually, it's very exciting to hear what you've been organizing for this year. Tell me a little bit, I mean, coming back to why we decided to have this podcast and this discussion, we discuss about these synergies, community, fostering synergies. What does a community of change means to you? What is the, I would like to understand your personal point of view on this.
Sure. So, I mean, for sure, I've been brainwashed and influenced by kind of the methodology of the World Economic Forum over the years. And, you know, for us, how we're looking about this is looking at community and communities of change along a few different areas. I think there's really that aspect of communities of interest, communities of purpose, and then communities of action. And all of this is interesting and important about getting to change, right? The communities of interest are kind of shared, people who share those interests and can identify with one another, can support one another. People who have a community of purpose are really all about understanding how those things are shared together. But and those two are relatively, I think, easy and non-committal, if you will, in terms of like how you can bring them together and actually see there to be individual benefits from those communities. When you think about that next layer, kind of the community of action or community of change, as you've put it, I think this is where it becomes much more important to be intentional. And I think with the forum, with Uplink, we're looking to understand the key questions about what does change mean? What is the question? What is the thing we want to change in the world? And then really being intentional about who do we need to bring together to bring about that change. A lot of times we are working under the assumption that something needs to be disrupted, or that there needs to be some sort of innovation so that the same answer to the question that we need to change doesn't just keep on popping back, right? And so I think that's for us what it's all about is, okay, and this multi-stakeholder is something maybe you've kind of heard a few times since you begin to get to know us at the forum. But I think it's true. It's right. A lot of times you get the same answers from the same people if you ask only the business sector, if you ask only politicians and the public sector. And for us, it's really about how can we ask the question to a variety of stakeholders and understand from that we're going to get a richer set of criteria for changing, disrupting whatever the issue is that we're looking around. So for me, when I hear and you talk about communities of change, it is about bringing together the right diverse actors who can empower, who can ask the right questions, who can help a change agent kind of go about their work and see that scaled and evolve. So maybe those are the first things that come to mind. Hopefully that some of that resonates with some of your work.
It sounds really, inspirational somehow, but it's also kind of a feeling that I have when I'm in Davos, right? Like there is that spirit of let's share all of us to then take that knowledge and reshape it in whatever form it's needed to continue our businesses. And I think it's a great, I mean, I wouldn't say that Davos is the only thing. There is multiple events that are happening in the world, and especially the ones organized by the World Economic Forum and by you on the Uplink that are very interesting for giving that sense. Especially, and it's coming to my mind the latest events, right? Like the last time we were in this event in New York, where people are in a circle and they are sharing a lot of intentions, a lot of emotions, and that way of understanding the different challenges changed a lot the way you are actually finding solutions for those challenges. But let me take it to a more personal question, because it's something that I think it's always great to hear. What is your intention?
Ooh, what is my intention? Ooh, that gets to a whole nother level of kind of making it real, right? Listen, I've always been, and I've been influenced a lot by design facilitators, and yeah. I've taken a lot of my learning. It comes from two kind of icons in this space, Matt and Gail Taylor, who laid out a whole set of principles around with which you can kind of facilitate groups for impact. And when I think about my intentions and my work, I somewhat bring a similar approach, be it kind of the team that I'm looking to empower or a community that we're looking to work with to bring about change. And it's trying to set up the right type of atmosphere, the right type of space, even like physical space. And in fact, the word facilitation comes from the Latin root facile, which as a linguist, you know, well, means to make easy. So, you know, how can we make it easy for our teams, for the communities, the people we work with to find the answers, to relate to their work, to understand, to build those bridges. And so for me, a lot of my intention is about facilitating the way in which we bring our colleagues together to solve issues, to make our work more effective, more efficient. At the root of all of that, of course, we are super passionate about entrepreneurs. And we believe fundamentally that the big societal and planetary problems that we have today are only going to be solved with new ideas. And those are going to come from entrepreneurs who are bringing things that haven't been brought up yet. And we love the fact that we're working on early stage entrepreneurship, because it is the part of that kind of the build up, the supply chain, that is the hardest, and it's the riskiest, and it's the ones that are going to fail the most. And so even if it would be a lot easier for us to kind of, you know, go out and try to find the late Series C, Series D companies and just back them and make them bigger and better, actually, we need these early stage companies, because everything we're doing right now is not working.
Totally. And also because those ones are the ones creating real life applications, right? Like those ones are the ones like saying like, okay, this is not working. I need to work on a solution. How can I do it? And I think, I mean, taking it from there, from supporting those fellows on an early stage, What is the mechanism of collaboration that you see that needs to happen? What are the practices and strategies on this? On a personal level, right? Like, because I like the conceptualization of that, like how do we always create a kind of a vision for it, but in a more grounded, like in everyday, how does your day looks like, right? Like, so I would like to get those insights.
So the more our team grows, the more it's probably not as exciting as it should be, because it's more about, you know, managing and trying to make sure that we have good accounting and kind of getting across and solving issues that arise and come to life. But I mean, I think a lot of the team, I mean, we have a lot of the team does spend their time asking questions to the experts that we have at the World Economic Forum around what are the big challenges in one of the 10 SDG areas that we work on, which ones are in most need of innovation to disrupt and bring about systemic change. And then their jobs, and sometimes I get to do this as well, is to then kind of pick that apart. And that's where the facilitation comes into mind, because we put together design sessions with those various actors where we're asking the questions, we're teasing out the answers from each of those diverse parties, and trying to get to the 3 to 4 kind of key questions or criteria that we think innovation needs to emerge as in order to solve some of those problems. And now it's also then about kind of how do we build the relationships with those different actors. So there is a lot of relationship building. And sometimes that is from a kind of uplink or myself or a team member who's getting to know people like you, so you understand what are the pain points of an investor. Sometimes it's more at other enablers of either entrepreneurs or investors, so we can kind of compare notes and see how we can help each other. And then, you know, as a kind of a startup ourselves, we're into our year 5. So we launched in 2020. 4 years ago at Davos, so this is year 5, and right? So
during pandemic, right? Like, it was even more challenging.
Just before the pandemic, and I joined literally in March of 2020. So it was like meeting the team for the first time over Zoom.
Everything was virtual.
Everything was virtual, and you know, in some ways that gave us an opportunity to do things in a different way, which I think was actually quite nice. But at the end of the day, I've been talking about relationships and trust, and that's harder when you're in a virtual context, right? So our response and kind of coming out of the pandemic actually has been fantastic for us to try to bring about the types of ecosystems that we need to solve these big hairy challenges out there, right? So that's in a nutshell, I guess, how I'd see it. But, you know, I said is we're growing, and it's kind of for going from startup to scale up. So some of what I'm spending time doing now is trying to question how we work. Think about, as you know, one of those big topics, data. How can we use data? How can we use technology to make our work more efficient, more effective, bring about, instead of having to ask you all of the information about what you're doing, how can we scrape that from different sites where you have a presence as Chi Impact and make it easy for you to say, yes, that's it, keep going in that direction, and so that we know kind of the different ways that we can empower your organization. And that can be kind of just a much faster, more effective way, but that creates a different type of mindset for a team to be able to leverage technology and data and machine learning in a new way.
And speaking about these relationships that you're building, and for the first time listeners, since you are also a startup inside and a bigger organization, so you are an entrepreneur, what is the biggest challenge? What is your biggest challenge in developing the uplink network from this angle of, you know, like a newbie not understanding yet what you're doing, and just like without like the pitch of it, but more as a challenge, like how do you see yourself facing it and saying like, okay, I'm part of you guys, like let's, you know, like wrap up our sleeves and let's do this together, right?
Yeah, I think the biggest challenge has been the pivot from you know, talking about it to doing it and then showing impact. Okay. And so, you know, people have been willing to provide and maybe that it's the, of course, the association with the World Economic Forum gives a lot of trust for people that there is some real substance behind what we're doing with Uplink. But, you know, the reality is that until you actually have collaborated with people and have been able to demonstrate impact and to visualize some of that impact across a multiple years, I think that it's kind of that is a challenge, right? And so for us, we're just launched in Davos our second impact report on platform. The full report is going to be launched in March. It's hard, right? We've got 500 entrepreneurs that we're working with, trying to create the right type of communications plan to make it easy for them to provide us with updated information a year or 2 years after they've joined our network, but also providing entrepreneurs with the skills and kind of like the templates of how to measure impact themselves. So there's this like onion or multiple layers of data measurement, data verification, data learning, both for us and for startups about how they are actually, let's say, capturing, but then measuring and sometimes also verifying. So this has been, I think, one of the hardest parts of our maturation process is we know that if we're going to really take things to the next level, we need to provide value to the entire ecosystem in a way that is demonstrating impact, demonstrating that focusing on impact equals focusing on returns, which is something that you and Kristen and I have talked about a few times, right? Yeah. But so it's only going to happen if we can show that this ecosystem approach has real dividends. And to do that, we need robust data management, data communications, data learning, data measurement, data visualization. And that's hard. And because partly because, you know, it means hiring the right types of skills to join the team, using the right type of tools. And so I'd say that that's been one of the things that we are constantly kind of saying. We know it's going to be a year-on-year improvement. It's not going to be a magic bullet, but something that we always are going to have to improve upon.
Yeah, yeah. And I think these words are resonating very well with what is happening in the world. Recently, I mean, that data and also other technologies, right? Like recently, I came across this discourse from Satya Nadella speaking about the year of AI. You know, the CEO of Microsoft saying like how impactful will be AI for sustainability and for impact. So I would like to hear what is your take on that, like how AI. Also, because we were both in one of the events in Davos that were showcasing amazing entrepreneurs doing great job on AI, but still, I think it's the beginning. How data and how technology will influence what you're doing and you know, overcome those bottlenecks where we all are like trying to understand things. How do you see this?
Well, I feel like. Or maybe I guarantee our answer, our thoughts on this will be different today than they will be in a year and 2 years and 5 years. So because I think we're just at the start of this journey. At the same time, I think we have to look at it from a glasses half full perspective, because the alternative is pretty daunting. We're facing, and you know, you and I live in a country that is you know, fantastically privileged from a quality of life perspective. And so, but it is visual, the way the planet is changing and changing fast is visual for you and I, because we want to go skiing and we go up to Anzaire and there's no snow, right? And yeah. it's being warmed faster, and the trajectories are scary. It's no longer about mitigation, it's about adaptation. And yet anything we can do to mitigate to a certain level, I think has to come from advances in technology. Of course, there are nature-based solutions that are going to come alongside this. But this is where I think, and this is where I was persuaded, both in a recent trip in the fall to San Francisco and again in some discussions in Davos, was thinking about the power of AI to really influence some of the technologies that will help us, not just with carbon capture, but also in terms of influencing kind of how our societies are leveraging the planet's resources, are thinking about new ways in which we can organize societies. And you know, that does make assumptions, of course, that all of the AI will be used for positive purposes. But I think that there is going to be a real incentive for the types of change to leverage technology in a way that we've never seen before. So maybe that's where my current thinking is. At the same time, I think it's really scary. And I visited one of the startups today in Glan, that's doing the plant-based wearables that you got to meet. And you know, on the one hand, they're using AI to help replace some of the plant scientists that they have. So instead of needing a scientist to analyze the data that's coming out of the wearable technology in the plant and advising the farmers and the agro businesses, they're actually just having the AI technology that can analyze the data and provide that to the farmer directly. And so that's, on the one hand, replacing a job. I met some of them today. They are helping to implement this technology that may make their job more challenging to find actually employment, right? So I think there's some things about this that are kind of scary, especially with kids who are growing up and trying to figure out what that will mean for them. But overall, I think that it will be part of what I'm cautiously optimistic will try to help the planet, help society more so than hurt it.
Yeah, I think it's Carol Plumer. She's the CEO, right, of this plant science technology. It's amazing what they're doing. I think the project is really cool at the same level as it's scary, right? Like, because yes, you're leaving some of the traditional way of thinking, traditional way of developing business to something that we don't yet understand. Of course, that's one of the challenging points. I need to tell you, right? Like, I'm trying to get more and more involved in AI and using it as much as I can, because I think that if I understand it, then I can take a step ahead and said, like, okay, I need these and these and that. How is it for you? Are you using it in a daily base? Are you, I'm going to be very honest, and it's also because that's how we do in this podcast. I try using the AI for creating a best name for the podcast itself. I need to say it, right? Like, and it was actually working pretty well. How is it in your end?
Well, so I will use that exact. So at the World Economic Forum, we do convenings, we need to advertise the types of events or discussions, sessions that we're holding. And we've actually created a forum GPT. So it's leveraging, it's a plugin, but it's leveraging the data that we have about all of the speakers, about all of the constituents we work with, all of the past sessions we've run, the past titles we've used. And so we can actually leverage Forum GPT to say, hey, I'm putting together a session on, solar energy sources from startups in Africa. Can you suggest me an ideal cast of speakers, a session description, and a catchy title? And it can spit it out. And so, you know, this is something, of course, it's not perfect. And the quality of the data. So if I want to make sure, for example, that uplink speakers show up more often, I need to make sure that your profile and your title and all your organization is up to date and is filled out. And then the forum GPT is more likely to select you as a speaker. But there are ways in which we're using it as an organization, putting on events. That is pretty exciting, and it helps us. It just helps us move faster and get away from, okay, I got to think of a good name and title for this, to more about our high value work, which is building those relationships, understanding kind of the different parties that need to come together. So yeah, that's just in the same way that you're doing it. So are we.
Amazing. Wow. I think we are all of us learning by doing, right? Like, so yeah, that's right. The thing. And I'm going to take one of the words that I heard from this presentation that I was telling you from Satya Nadella. It is a means, not an end. So it needs to evolve with us and see how we are behaving to actually get into something that is more tangible. And speaking about, again, the collaboration and the impact, how is the future of that? Like, what is the what is in the horizon this in regards to these communities of change? What do you see evolving using this technology, and how we can all see ourselves in that horizon and work together for something?
Well, good question. I mean, I haven't thought about AI as something that is helping us achieve our ultimate goals. I think that it is an enabler and kind of, sure, it's a means, but I don't think that that's the only reason why we will either succeed or fail as societies, as a planet, as companies, as and so I guess I haven't thought about it in the same way. I think the at the end of the day, there will be humans who are going to be the pivotal anchors of kind of how different initiatives are either successful or not. And I take on our work, right, if we are successful in building ecosystems around some of the intrenchable tough issues out there and demonstrating that innovation and entrepreneurship is part of the solution, I don't think that that's because of AI. I think that's because we have been successful in demonstrating over a multi-year period and kind of proving and kind of changing the hearts and minds of people to believe in this space, to invest more in this space, to and so I think that that's, yeah, I don't know if I'm kind of going against the grain here in your line of questioning, but I do. I mean, of course, it's going to be a part of it, but I'm hopeful, and I'm of the belief that it won't be the only thing that is going to be a determinant there.
Yeah. Thanks for that. I think we're seated on the front of a really exciting moment in humanity by using technology that can actually give us the most precious thing we need. So it's time, right? Yep, like, so time, right, for organizing ourselves in a different way, time to rethink, time to get together, time to actually breathe, think of other things, right? Like, and be more, I need to mention it, holistic, like thinking about like the whole solution for something, that we are a common thing, and that if we find solutions for the community, we can have solutions for ourselves. Always thinking about what is the challenging part for each of us first, right? But in this regards, yeah, of having more time, understanding how we are acting, what is the call to action, especially for the collaborations that you're building between the change makers, the entrepreneurs, the investors, all these community, like, what is that?
A call to action. Yeah, I mean, I think it is trying to understand one another, get away from the kind of a superficial level of thinking about one another. If I'm an entrepreneur, I'm assuming that an investor is looking for X.
Yeah.
And if I'm a company, if I'm a big corporate, assuming that this is how, you know, I can plug in an entrepreneur into my ecosystem, and trying to really more ask the questions of one another about how can we help each other succeed? And I think you were with us at one of the events where we tried to destigmatize, like what is the perspective? What does success look like for each of the different actors in these ecosystems? And I think those are conversations that aren't happening enough. And so my call to action would be get beyond our stereotype of one another and really try to listen, actively listen to what is going to make one another successful. And, you know, I think we will find those areas. You guys have been actively listening in a way that I love about saying, I'm inspired by the entrepreneurs that we bring together with Uplink. Here are the ones that we think kind of resonate with our mission, our vision, and that corresponds. People are excited to then get to know you and she, and I think that that's part of what we need more people to do.
I think this is a key message, be more empathic, right? Like, so understand that we are both at startups, building startups, basically.
Yeah.
Right. Like, so us as being first fund, hopefully second fund soon. But
what's your call to action, Enrique?
I think the call to action is to be more in your intention. Now that we were thinking about that, right? Like, now that we were discussing about that, I think this intention, if we always look back to how we grew up as babies, as kids, as young adults, is always something for good. Of course, then there is a lot of things that happens in our lives, and perhaps sometimes we focus more on professional, financial success and other things. But as humans, we are built from nature, which means that it's something that is growing together for good, for the benefit. We're part of the ecosystem. So understanding that, being more empathic with that sense of belongingness to the, I mean, why not call it the Pachamama, right? Like the mm-hmm. Mother Earth. Like that I think that we if we all give ourselves a little time of reflection for that connection, I think we are all doing already something, right? Like, thanks for the question. I think
investing in yourself to be more empathic.
Totally. Yeah. And connected to the earth, like just listen, being aware of a walk in the forest, being aware, as you were saying, right? Like, be a listener and not just always trying to build, but just more listening and understanding what's going on around you. We're getting into a very philosophical discussion here. So
I look forward to a walk in the forest with you in Villar in March.
Of course, I'm going to be there, and I'm actually very excited. I was already taking a look on the list of participants, and there is a lot of interesting names, foundations, change makers. I'm really looking forward for that. I think Villar Institute is one of these places where you get inspired just by being there, right? And I can't wait to be with the community and to hug ourselves again and try to make a change in the world with the little drops we're doing. And especially like share knowledge that we all have in the daily base. I think just like to sum up on this, we have empathy, we have vision, we have intention. What is the last key takeaway that you will give us for our listeners? For 2024, like, what is the key takeaway to focus for them?
So I think my last one is just for, and you know, your audience perhaps is a little bit of the already the converted, but believe in the power of entrepreneurship. We need to mobilize more capital for early and kind of growth stage entrepreneurs. We need to provide more capital in for funds like yours. Because the technologies we need to change the world are not going to magically appear as a late stage IPO. They got to come from somewhere. we need to invest in these ideas, invest in those founders. I'm hopeful that people have been interested by this discussion and will think about ways that they can support entrepreneur ecosystems from here.
Yes, for collaboration and impact.
There you go.
Thank you very much, John. It's been an amazing pleasure. Like always, I had a lot of fun in this discussion. So I hope we can see each other very soon, either at Villas or in the mountain skiing.
There you go.
All my best regards to your kids.
Thank you.
and your family. Same. And we stay in touch.
Same. Please give my best to Kristen and Anita, the whole team, okay?
With pleasure. Thank you.
Yeah. Bye-bye.